the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Her music and live performances have been turning heads and winning praise both here and in Ireland for the past year. A track off her debut EP featured in the MTV hit series Teen Wolf. And this week, on Wednesday the 9th of November, she plays at the Prince Albert here in Brighton. Joining me on the phone right now is Cork musician Lyra. Hello, Lyra.
Hiya, how's it going?
Not too bad. Congratulations. Great year this year.
Yeah, it's going great so far. I'm extremely lucky. I wasn't thinking that things would go this cray-cray, but they have, so I'm absolutely thrilled. I'm delighted.
I have to say, you know, I've been listening to a lot of kind of new Irish music this year, and I think your music has probably stood out as being one of the most distinctive sounds that I've heard. Kind of, what's been your feedback from kind of fans and people in the industry this year for you?
Well, thanks for that comment. That's mind-blowing. Thanks, million. That's great, because I know myself there's a lot of amazing Irish talent out there. Mm. And, you know, to be told that I stand out is pretty mind-blowing for me. So thanks a million. And I think the feedback from people is, well, number one, I can't wait for people to see it live, because when you hear it recorded and when you see it live, there's definitely different elements to both. So people who have heard it have been saying, you know, God, this is really like anthemic. It's very cinematic. It's such a big sound. It's nice to hear somebody who is, you know, singing in the voice that they talk, and that they're not singing a song. And then, you know, when you hear them talking in interviews and stuff, that they're completely different. So I think that's been like a lot of the key feedback that I have been getting, which is great. I only do one accent. I'm awful at accents, so I wouldn't be able to do anything else anyway. And then people who have seen maybe some of the Irish shows, the feedback from that has been how the songs transform when they're live, that it's, they didn't think that it could get any bigger than the recordings, but it actually is bigger when you hear it live, and it's a lot more emotive and stuff like that. So I think realistically the theme of the whole thing is bigness. So, which is great, because I love big sounds and tribal sounds, and sure, you know, that's what I'm going for.
And to be fair, it comes across in the kind of the imagery and the branding you have as well. You know, a lot of the stuff you put out so far has had kind of a water kind of theme with a woman in a white dress. It's all done very, very well, actually.
Well, thanks. I've been thinking about this for years. You know, I am terrified of water, but I find it extremely fascinating. Like, I don't know what it is about it, and I find it soothing and stuff like that. So naturally, when I'm writing songs, it always seems to team back to that, because it's obviously a vision that I have in my mind. So then when I told my management that I wanted to do an underwater photo shoot, they were probably looking at me as if I had 15,000 heads. But I was like, they were like, but you are kind of scared of water. It's like, yeah, terrified, and I get claustrophobic, but it's something that I'm going to do because I think it would just be amazing. So we done it, and I was submerged for about 10 hours that day. I came out like an absolute prune. So I was like, oh my God. So it was a great day doing that whole thing, but the artwork and all the vision and stuff like that, it is quite teamed together, because that's kind of what I saw when I was writing these songs, so it had to go hand in hand.
Yeah, I suppose music these days is kind of quite visual now as well, isn't it?
Exactly, definitely. Like, people, you know, on the internet nowadays, like, you hear music, you see shows, you know, you want to get to know the artists, and what better way than to kind of let them inside your mind and see creatively how you came up with all these things and stuff like that. So I think it's a big thing.
So when did this all start then? When did you start kind of singing and songwriting?
Well, I kind of have been doing it a long time, as in obviously not as big as this, with my sister. We just sit down at home sometimes, you know, if we didn't want to go out of a night, and we'd start writing all the songs, and we just started writing things together, which I'd say we'll never see light of day, and never meant to see light of day, but we just started doing it. I don't know why we didn't want to go out with some losers sitting in songwriting. So that's how rock and roll I am. So we started from a young age, and when my dad used to go down to work in Waterford, we used to make him little tapes where we'd make up songs about like what we'd done during the week to kind of fill him in and stuff like that. So it started back then.
Yeah.
And then I wrote Emerald, the first, was one of the first songs that I wrote that I'd said, you know what, I think this is really good. I'd like to hear what people think of the song. So I started putting them up online, and then this happened. So it was kind of great.
And this was all when you were living back in Cork at the time, is that right?
Yeah, I started writing back in Cork, and then I came over to England, and then I met this guy who I became really good friends with, and he was a producer, and we started doing some stuff together, and that's how the EP was kind of like born then. So I was like back and forth like a yo-yo.
So you kind of mentioned you kind of yourself and your sister writing music. How did it sound? What was influencing that kind of music that you were doing together?
Well, we love harmonies, which is a massive thing. Like normally people, when they ask me to sing, I'm like, I'll only sing with my sister. That's when I was. Now I'm like, move over. obviously the elder sister, you have to kind of like let her take the lead.
Oh, of course.
Little young sister that I am. So when we started writing, it was mainly down to like the harmonies and making it quite like ethereal. So Enya definitely played a massive part in our lives. Being brought up with her. What else kind of, I don't really know what it was that kind of, you know, was the backbone of it. I think we just sit down and just start singing and just kind of go with whatever came out kind of thing. That's how we went about it anyway.
Yeah.
We don't to think too much into it. I think we were just having a laugh.
Yeah. Did that kind of stem from school then or from listening to the radio or, you know, because I suppose like every kid kind of plays out a little bit, don't they? They do either drama or music or sports. Every kid kind of has his or her own thing. What kind of prompted you to get into singing, do you think?
Well, we came from great schools that music was like a big thing in our schools. And for me, my sister's the lucky one. She has the brains and the voice. And I think the brains must have skipped me a bit. So anything to get out of French, Irish and maths class, I was like, I'm going to do that. And if you're in the play in school, you like were given free passes to everything. So I was like, adamant, I'm getting a main part every year so I can get a classes. So that was one thing that definitely led me. And as I said, just being a part of those musicals from a very young age, I was like, well, this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life. I don't care who says what, because obviously some people were like, yeah, but that's just like a pastime. I was like, I don't care. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. So that stemmed me on massively. Coming from a massive Irish family where singing is almost compulsory. Even if you can sing at a sing-song, you're made sing. So I was like, right, well, I better get good at this because I'm not getting off singing in front of anyone if I'm like a cat. So I think they were my two main things that I remember from being young and starting me off on my road to sing them. I'm not going to say start, because that is just cheesy.
Well, you know, you never know. But I suppose it really, it all stems from just trying to dodge Irish classes, you know, which is good. It's good.
Yeah. My mom's going to absolutely kill me.
You better not show her this, send her this clip. So you kind of, I read as well that you, when you were younger, you kind of learned to play the baron. And there's, I suppose, with the baron sound, you know, there's a nice thumping kind of energy that comes from that. Is that something you've kind of consciously tried to bring into your sound now?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think my teacher in school, and we were having the St. Patrick's Day parade, everyone was playing tin whistle. And I was just like, put my hand up and I was like, can I please play the baron? The tin whistle just wasn't for me. So there was me, the little young one, walking down St. Patrick's parade with a massive baron. It started my love for the massive tribal kind of sound. I just love the round, warm sound of the baron. I just think it's a really nice sound. It's a really emotive, and it's a thing that, you know, if I hear it on tracks, it really gets me going. So I said, right, well, I have to keep this sound. My drummer probably hates me because I've literally banned the snare drum from his kit, and he is just like, oh, here she goes. And I'm like, oh, can you not hit that hi-hat because it's too high sounding? So all the low drum sounds it's Lyra to a T.
Yeah, I think that comes across in the music as well. Rub it in the head, let's let you go. I suppose kind of speaking kind of energy and stuff like that, I heard that your nickname is Tornado. Where does that come from?
Oh, that's one thing that I regret in my whole life saying. I was on stage in Dublin, and I swear to God, the nerves took over me. What happened? And I literally just went hell for leather telling everyone my whole life story. They must have been like, okay, I feel like I know this girl inside out. And after I read it, there was a blogger there, and they wrote about it anyway. And I was like, oh God, my dad was reading it, and he was like, why, Lyra? Why? And I was like, oh no, it just came out. And the second it came out, I just started the song because I knew I shouldn't have said it. I think it's just because as a young one, I was always quite small and like the small one of the family. And, you know, but when I started singing, have quite a big voice. Like it's a lot louder than you'd be expecting. So I have bellowing lungs. So they'd always be like, oh, here comes a tornado all the time. My cousin actually started it and it just stuck. So that's why they call me.
It's a good nickname. It's a good one.
I know. Oh God, I don't know why. I'm just cringing out now that people know. You could take it so many different ways. So like, oh God, they probably think some anger management young one or something. But no, it's not.
Well, look, we'll move on quickly from that. Then we'll move on quickly. What was I going to say? So yeah, you mentioned you're living in London at the minute, or living in England. How are you finding that adjustment, kind of career wise and even personally, being away from home?
I hate being away from my family and friends. Like it's really hard that way to be away from them. And because, you know, if you have a bad day, the first thing that I want to do is like be with my mom or my dad, or, you know, go and talk to my sister about it, or ring up the girls and be like, can we go for a glass of wine? I just need to kind of get out of my music head. And not having them around is hard. And obviously being over here is a lot different to being back home, where everything just seems a lot calmer, a lot more free flowing, a lot more free spirited. Whereas over here, it's very like driven and fast and just a bit cray cray. But you know, it's something that I've definitely adjusted to, and I know that I have to be here to get the best out of my career that I want to, and I would do anything to get to where I see in my mind where I want to go. So it's just something that I'm going to have to adapt to. And you know what, I go home all the time. I'm back and forth like a yo-yo. I might as well just have shares at Ryanair, because I'm going all the time. So I see them a lot. And then when I do go home, my mom and dad absolutely spoil me because they think I've been away for ages, but it would only be about 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's the joys, but I suppose it's quite easy to get home. And I suppose, you know, we've got access to kind of Irish TV and radio on our phones now as well. So it's not too bad, I suppose. But you mentioned kind of, you know, being in England important career-wise. Now, you did work with Rupert Christie, a producer who's worked with Kate Bush and Coldplay for Rabbit in the Headlights. How did you two get together? Was that in London?
Yeah, he basically heard some of my music and asked me if I wanted to do a writing session with him. So I went there and we'd done a writing session together, and the song just ended up being really good, and he really loved the sound and loved the direction that I was going in. And you know, he loves the kind of cinematic sound, and he loves the orchestra kind of sound and strings and stuff like that. So he was just saying to me, you know, if you want me to kind of produce any of your stuff, yeah, I'd love to be a part of this whole thing, which obviously I nearly chewed his arm off and was like, yes, fantastic. So just after a few conversations, he decided that he'd like to produce my EP for me. So I bought him the songs and we sat down and we went through them and kind of spent, I think we ended up spending like, how many days? Like 10 days together. Mm. And just done them from scratch and finished them. And that was it. But it was so great because he's such a nice guy. And he was telling me a lot about what he was doing and why he was doing it. He wasn't just doing it and me liking or lumping it. We really got together. So it was fantastic. And to pick that brain was amazing.
That's the thing, having access to that is really good. And the EP itself then, you know, it sounds really good. And it's even one of the songs has been used in an episode of MTV's drama Teen Wolf. How did that come about?
Yeah, that was pretty weird. I don't even know. Like, I literally, there's this guy over in LA who has been just in love with the EP for a long time. Well, I say a long time, it hasn't even been out a long time. However, it feels like a long time for me. But he's just been in love with it since he heard it. And he was just like, can I please pitch this for a few things? I think it's a sound that kind of can be synced to anything. So I was like, right, grand. You like, work away. Let me know if anyone bites, kind of thing. And next minute, he sent me an email saying, and Teen Wolf want to use your song, and they're going to use it in like the opening to showing their new series. And next minute, he sent me a YouTube link, and there it was. And I was like, whoa!
It's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy because everyone's saying it to me, and I'm like, I think I forget how big it is.
Yeah.
Until people get excited, because I get excited about everything. So I think, well, I'm just a bit weird. So when people actually get excited about it, I'm like, yeah, that is actually a big thing. So I'm delighted. There's a few more in the pipeline too, which I'm very excited about. So fingers crossed, I'll let you know.
This is the thing, as you said earlier, your music is quite dramatic, it's quite cinematic, and it's a massive vote of confidence as well when you get a song like Emerald onto a massive TV show like that.
I know, yeah. It's like, wow, like, this is professional, because I don't know, when do you start thinking of yourself as a professional, and getting that was like, okay, yeah, well, obviously I can write songs because I wrote that song and it's going to be on this MTV show. So it's a great boost of confidence to kind of let you know, keep going and you're going in the right direction. And I think things like that are important for artists that are starting up, because, you know, in the music industry, it is hard keep your confidence up all the time. Like, it's hard industry, like a lot of other industries. So to get things like that to keep you going, I think it is quite important. Some days we sit in silence.
And that kind of ties in nicely as well. Back in Ireland at the moment, there's a kind of a campaign to get Irish music on the radio, or get more Irish music on the radio. What's your kind of take on that?
I think it's great. You know, I think, you know, if you're at home in Ireland and you have the Irish radio station on, like, why shouldn't you be hearing Irish artists? Like, why should you be hearing artists that are from America or from England? Like, definitely include them. Like, that's what the radio is about, is, you know, getting your songs in all different areas. But, like, I do think Irish artists should be on it, because we should be helping our own. And that's something that I definitely believe in. I came across a guy called Tim Chadwick over in Ireland. And I asked, could he support me in my Irish shows? And he's so talented and such a nice guy to be around. And I said to him, when it came to the English shows, I wanted to bring him over, and I want him to come over to England and see what it's like over here, because he's only been over in Ireland and he hasn't broken into England yet. And for me, supporting my own is a big thing. So I brought him over, and I'm going to help him kind of, you know, do what I've done over here. And I think Irish radio stations should be doing that for their own artists at home as well, because it's hard. It is hard. And, you know, having to leave Ireland to come over to England to do it, it's not nice leaving your family. So I do think they should be supporting them and playing their stuff.
Yeah, and the standard of new Irish music is phenomenal at the moment. And you're part of that new wave of kind of, I suppose, more modern Irish music.
Yeah, definitely. We've had some massive artists come out of Ireland, and it kind of went into lull for a while. And I think it's about time that we show them, you know, we're great singers. Like, we're known for being like the singing capital basically of the world. Like, everyone talked is like, oh, well, your family all must be great singers, and, you know, we're known for it, so you might as well show them. I love Ireland.
Now, gig wise what can we expect on Wednesday here in Brighton?
Well, hopefully I'll get rid of this mini little cold that I have. So I'm trying not to sniffle through the interview, but what can I say is going to be without, like, number one, giving too much away, and number two, making it sound amazing and people coming, oh, God, girl. It's going to be big. It's going to be intimate as well. It's going to be it's going to be like a look inside to me, because I'm going to be singing the songs live, so everyone will know what the songs are about, and then they'll be able to see how those songs really make me feel, because, you know, I don't write songs just for the sake of writing songs. They are all about something that has happened to me. And a lot of people say that when they hear, for the examples of Broken Down, and they hear what it's about, and then they see it. Some of them, like a woman came up to me after one of my shows, and she was roaring, crying, and she was just like, oh, I could just feel how angry you were. And, you know, so you're going to get an insight of who I am. Also, you're going to meet my band, who are the coolest dudes ever. I love them to death. They're amazing. And you're going to get a good performance, because I love to perform. It's one thing that I think will make me stand out in the music industry, because I love to do it. And it's very natural to me, so I can't wait to show people my weird side.
Well, I for one, am very, very excited to see you live. And it's this Wednesday at the Prince Albert. Tickets are available. They're free as well. Where can people get them?
Cheapy Mac Almighty, where can you get them? I know that I have the link on my Facebook anyway.
Yeah, I think I've caught you out, haven't I?
Yeah. The one question that I definitely should have prepared. If my manager hears this now, she will kill me.
I think it's on Sea Tickets or One Inch Badge are the places to go and get them. And it's, yeah, it's pretty straightforward really to get them there. And that is for this Wednesday. When can we expect to see new music from Lyra?
Well, if you come to the gig, you'll hear some, which is great. I recently just added some songs to my set. After the gigs, I think there'll be a lot of stuff coming up in the pipeline. Cool. So I'm pretty sure you'll get a new track soon.
Cool. Well, look, Lyra, best of luck with the gig. And I suppose, is it too early to say Happy Christmas and Happy New Year?
Nah, it's not. Sure, they have all the Christmas decorations out in the shops for about a month now. I think we're probably actually behind.
Okay. Well, look, have a great Christmas. I'm assuming you're going back home, and a great New Year. I hope 2017 is as much as a success as this year was for you.
Oh, thanks a million. I can't wait to meet you at the gig. Come up and we'll have a drink afterwards.
Cool, sounds good. Cheers, Lyra. Thank you.
Wicked. Thanks a million.
From the heart of Brighton, a taste of hope.
People were thought I was making some kind of police joke or something. I was like, no, just, you know, I mean, you know, cop on.
That's so funny. Yeah, I don't even know where it comes from.
Brighton's weekly Irish radio show, What's the Crack? With Anthony Martin on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.